Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 104, Crucified with Christ. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message in the Practical Applications from Bible Character series on December 1st, 2019.
That was really, really, really great. We've had over 5,000 listens and downloads of our podcast now to date. 4,300 some this year so far. And so welcome people on the podcast. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us. And we hope that this service will be a blessing to you today. Praise the Lord. So the gospel, it's simple enough, actually. At least in the sense that it's not complicated. I guess that's maybe kind of two ways of saying the same thing. The gospel is really simple. You know, we can make it complicated for people. Religion can make it complicated for people. People can make it complicated for people. Other Christians can make it complicated for people. But the gospel is really, really simple. And when it's presented clearly, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to take that gospel and change a person's heart and transform a person's life. In today's world, a lot of Christians struggle to share their faith with others and sometimes seemingly have very little success in doing it. But when you get a breakthrough of the Word of God, the gospel, the good news, and the power of the Holy Spirit to back it up, it's a game changer for anybody who wants to share their faith with somebody. So it's the interaction really by the Holy Spirit that brings the life impact on people's hearts and on their world. We can actually become instruments used by him for his kingdom if we'll just listen to him. I loved what Ellie just shared with the lesson she learned by some disobedience. I mean, who hasn't been there at least once or maybe 1,000 times? When you heard the voice of God and just walked on by. That was 10 years ago. Praise the Lord. But it's a lesson you've never forgotten, right? Yeah, so sometimes we learn in those ways, you know, and thankfully, yes, God is faithful, and yes, he is forgiving, and yes, he does give us another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance to redeem that. But thankfully, we don't always have to learn that way. We can learn from the Word as well. Amen. So we want to hear his voice and we want to be those instruments. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I think if we can get to that place, if we can find that place, then we can be that kind of person who's a vessel of God's honor, who's a vessel of blessing to others, a channel of blessing to others. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. But he doesn't just stop there. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, in other words, down here on this earth side, there's another side we're going to go to someday. It's not the life in the flesh side. It's the life in the spirit side with him. Forever. But the life that I now live in the flesh here, down here, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I know some versions say faith in the Son of God and some say faith of the Son of God. But I like to look at it this way. You know, sometimes my faith ebbs a little bit, gets a little bit low. But when my faith is low, his faith is always high. And if I can switch over from my faith to his faith, that's a perfect exchange. And beautiful and wonderful things can come out of that. So today we're going to look back again at the book of Acts chapter 10, the story of Cornelius. We used this a few weeks ago, but we were emphasizing the life of Cornelius and some of the things he did. But this time I want to look at really the picture of Jesus that's presented in this story about Cornelius from Acts chapter 10. In verse 30, it says, Cornelius replied, you remember the story, Cornelius had a vision, an angel came to him and said, send for this guy that's living in Simon the Tanner's house over in Jaffa. And same time, Peter was having a vision, and God was dealing with his bigotry and was dealing with his religious beliefs and so forth, and telling him he could take the gospel to the Gentiles. So out of these two visions, God connected these two people. And out of that connection, the whole household and all the people in the household got saved. They all came to Jesus, all the people that Cornelius had gathered in his household to hear that gospel message. But the central figure of the gospel message is really Jesus. So Jesus is the character that we're studying today. You know, our theme this for the last weeks has been practical application from Bible characters. And Jesus today is that character. So coming to verse 30, it says, Cornelius replied, he's speaking to Peter, 4 days ago I was praying in my house about this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the normal Jewish prayer time, one of their prayer times during the day. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying at the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once. It was good of you to come. Now we are all here waiting before God to hear the message that the Lord has given you. So I think that's a unique introduction to this story, because they were there, they were waiting, they were expecting, and they were expecting to hear from God through a person, this man Peter. And what did he have to give them? Just the gospel message. So let's take a look at what he said to them. Verse 34, it says, Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Isn't that amazing? You know, if God showed favoritism, many of us would be missed. Because when you look back at your life and you look back at things you've done or haven't done or all of those things, nobody can come up deserving of God's grace and his favor. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all, everybody. There's none righteous, no, not one, the word says. So we all start at the same place, unworthy, undeserving, but then there's God's grace. And here he says, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Now that's a great start to the gospel. And if you ever have to share your faith have an opportunity to share your faith with someone near you, that's a great place to start. God doesn't have any favorites. Verse 35, in every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. God is an accepting God. You know, sometimes the picture that people have of God is pretty skewed. It's not of a God who has acceptance for them. Many people have been raised in religions of hatred and of judgment and of punishment, that their gods will punish them if they make mistakes and might help them if they do good. But nobody knows how good you have to be in order to make the grade. This is the message, verse 36, of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. There's peace available. There's peace available through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And then he begins relating the substance of the gospel. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of the baptism. And you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the cross. But God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but unto us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the appointed one by God to be the judge over all, the living and the dead. He is the one that all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. So let's take a little closer look at that. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." So let's look at this gospel. He said, "This gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So let's look at this gospel that Peter was preaching here, the same one that Paul was talking about that he wasn't ashamed of. The first part of it is, he began to tell Cornelius and his household, "We apostles are witnesses of all that Jesus did through Judea and Jerusalem." We're witnesses. These were eyewitnesses. In other words, some people could dispute the story, but there were people who actually saw it. And so they established the truth of the matter by being eyewitnesses. And because of that, that was passed down from believers to the next generation of believers from eyewitnesses. It wasn't people who thought they had a vision or who heard about somebody who had a vision or whatever. They were passing down exactly what they saw and what Jesus told them and those things that they had lived out. So the substance of the gospel is this. He says they put him to death by hanging him on the cross. Jesus was innocent. Jesus had not sinned. Jesus was hung for the crimes of another man, Barabbas. The name Barabbas, Abba means father. So Bar, it means son. So Barabbas was the son of a father. Some people say it could be translated, he's the son of any father. And some say it should be translated, he was the son of every father. So for the crimes of that son, Jesus took the punishment by hanging on the cross, the death penalty he received for the crimes that others committed. The Romans were very technical about their legal system. Nobody could be executed unless they had committed a crime and were convicted. Barabbas was convicted of the crime, but Pilate said to the crowd, "Who do you want? Do you want me to free Jesus or Barabbas?" And when they made that exchange, Jesus became the criminal that hung on the cross in the place of Barabbas, the son of every father. And that's where we fit into the picture. And that's where Cornelius fit into the picture. And that's where Jewish people and Gentiles alike fit into the picture, because we were the son of some father somewhere one day, and we deserved the punishment. So that's the first part of the substance of the gospel. They put Jesus to death on the cross in place of another, in the place of those who had sinned. The Bible says, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The next part of it is that God raised him to life on the third day. So they killed him, we killed him, our sins killed him. But God raised him to life on the third day, just as was prophesied and predicted. He came back from the dead, and he's no longer dead, he's alive. Most of the religions, all of the religions that have a person that's a founder that they worship or that they revere, all those people have died. They're all in a grave somewhere. Maybe one that can be found or one that can't be found. But only Jesus came back to life from the dead. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And why the reason he's the way, the truth, and the life is because he's no longer dead. He's the living one. They put him to death, but God raised him up on the third day. Then it says God allowed him to appear not to the general public, but to us. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible truths, proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So those aspects are the very simple gospel that Peter was preaching to these Gentiles. These Gentiles possibly knew the Word of God from the Old Testament, so they may have heard some of these prophecies and so forth. And it's clear that Cornelius was a God worshiper and that he feared God and he loved God, but only to the extent that he could understand. He understood what the requirements of the law were. He understood the purpose of prayer. He participated in the festivals. He participated in the other things that Jewish people did to worship their God. But he had not yet met Jesus. And he had not yet heard the gospel that Jesus, who knew no sin, took the sin. There's an interesting thought about how did Jesus become sin for us so that we could be forgiven. If you go back to the baptism of Jesus, or to the story of the Jesus baptism, you find out that Jesus went to visit his cousin John. John was baptizing people in water. And when Jesus came and saw this baptism, he said to John, "Baptize me too." But John said, "No need to baptize you. Maybe you should baptize me." Because he recognized that his cousin was not just an ordinary person. But Jesus said, "No, you have to baptize me to fulfill all righteousness." So this person, Jesus, who was born without sin and had never sinned, came to John the Baptizer, the one who was baptizing people towards repentance, and asked him to baptize him. If you go further back in the Old Testament and think about the days of atonement when people's sins were forgiven, you recognize several things. One of the things is that they took this lamb or this goat and they laid their hands on the goat and transferred the sin of the people to the goat, sent it out into the desert to be killed by the beasts. That's how the sin was transferred in the Old Testament. They brought sin offerings. Likewise, they would lay their hands on the sin offering, they would put them on the altar, and they were sacrificed, and people's sins were forgiven. So now, in the New Testament, when John is baptizing people, he's placing his hands on Jesus and putting him under the water. The Bible says that baptism is like dying and rising again. But before that ritual, John placed his hands on Jesus, and the sins of the people were transferred to Jesus. You say, why would that be so? Because afterward, John said to his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And even while Jesus was living, he said, "Sometimes these things I'm doing, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, they're to fulfill what the prophet said. He took our sins and took our sicknesses in his own body," it says in Matthew 8:17. So Jesus, the sinless one, took on the sins of the world, became the Lamb of God that suffered and died and saved the world from sin. And John recognized that and recognized him as the Lamb of God, the one that was provided. There are stories in the Old Testament, the sacrificing of Isaac when Abraham took him up to the mountain. And the Bible says that Abraham sacrificed his son, was going to kill him on that altar, And when he put him on the altar, the angel of God stopped him and provided a lamb in the bush to be sacrificed in place of Isaac. Jesus later on said, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced." So how did he see the day? Well, he saw the day that God, who spared his son, would send someone to spare the life of another. The Lamb of God would be the one that was slain from the foundations of the earth, the Bible says. So this is God's plan of salvation, the gospel that set people free. But you can see that as either just a story, you can see it as possibly a revelation, or you can see it as God's provision for mankind to come to salvation, healing, and deliverance. For you, if it's just a story, it's perhaps meaningless. But if it's a revelation to you, it's life-changing and life-saving. It becomes the power of God to salvation to everyone who will believe. So it doesn't stop there. Then it kind of ends in this narrative. It says, "He's the one who ordered us to preach everywhere that Jesus is the one. And everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." So there he passed the torch to his disciples, who passed the torch to other disciples, who down through the generations have become the messengers of that gospel, the good news. But the fact is that without the power of the Holy Spirit, none of this would work. It would just be another story. If the Holy Spirit hadn't come on that day and ministered to those Gentile believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they would not have ever experienced salvation through Jesus' name. But at the hearing of the word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, their lives, their hearts were touched. They were set on fire by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says they began to speak with other tongues and magnify God and worship God. And through that, the disciples determined, these people must be saved like we are. It's an amazing thing, because they didn't think anybody but Jews could be saved up until that point. But thankfully for you and for me, God made a way for the Gentiles to come to Jesus. We've been grafted in to the Jewish tree that would receive the Savior who would save them from their sins. And we would find Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So we're going to take a break right here for our focus groups. For those of you who are on podcast, we're going to be back in just a few minutes and we'll wrap this up. But in the break time, you'll be looking at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So you can make some observations. You can make some application to your life and then pray for each other, and then we're going to be back. So God bless you. And together. And we need to recognize that God instituted the Lord's Supper for a reason. When you receive it, you should be ready to partake of everything that Jesus' sacrifice provided for. Forgiveness, salvation, peace of mind, healing, and total prosperity. So before we receive communion today, I want to have us make this confession together. Let's say these words together. Today I believe the gospel.
Today I believe the gospel.
It's the power of God for salvation to me.
It's the power of God for salvation to me.
Jesus was lifted up for my transgressions. He was raised up for my justification.
He was raised up for my justification.
His body was broken for my healing and forgiveness.
His body was broken for my healing and forgiveness.
His blood was shed for the remission of my sins.
His blood was shed for the remission of my sins.
Therefore, I am healed and made whole.
Therefore, I am healed and made whole.
I am forgiven and set free from the power of sin. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend.
Jesus
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just examine our hearts today. We judge ourselves according to the authority of your word. Lord, in the areas that we've missed it, missed the mark in strife, unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, hatred, covetousness, fear, worry, unbelief, and any other sin, we take Jesus as our advocate and our high priest. We ask forgiveness according to your word, Father, in 1 John 1:9. Your word says you are faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, we do not eat of the bread nor drink of the cup in an unworthy manner, but we rightly discern your body, Lord Jesus. We receive communion together now as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are free from the works of Satan, spirit, soul, and body. Do the song now. After you receive the elements, just stand and worship with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we examine our hearts and judge ourselves according to the authority of your word. We thank you for forgiveness, for your blessing, for your life flowing to us. Today, Father, we receive communion, Father, as the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you that we are set free by the power of your blood. The Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus, that you know. Not only took your sin, our sins in your own body on the tree, so that we could be dead to sin and alive to righteousness and be healed by your stripes. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is working mightily inside of us. We receive that healing, wellness, and wholeness, Lord. We thank you for total deliverance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had drank, he said, "This cup is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." So let's drink together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus, for total remission of sin. Hallelujah. We praise you for it, Father, Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. So in closing, let's just join our hands together and let's make this confession. Father, we give you thanks. Let's make the confession together. Father, we give you thanks,
Father, we give you thanks
for all you've provided for us in Christ Jesus. We confess this day that we are blessed of the Lord.
We confess this day that we are blessed of the Lord.
This covenant we entered into at the new birth.
This covenant we entered into at the new birth.
Is a covenant filled with exceeding great and precious promises of God.
Is a covenant filled with exceeding precious, great and precious promises.
We are partakers of these promises now.
We are partakers of these promises.
We are healed.
We are healed.
We are redeemed.
We are redeemed.
We are delivered from the authority of darkness.
We are delivered from the authority of darkness.
We're translated from the into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
We're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
We are the head and not the tail.
We are the head and not the tail.
We are above only and not beneath.
We are above only and not beneath.
We come behind in no good thing.
We come behind in no good thing.
All that we set our hands to prospers.
All that we set our hands to prospers.
So we praise you, Father.
And we praise you, Father.
For the newness of life we now enjoy. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, praise God. So now it's prayer time, so if anybody needs or wants prayer, you're welcome to come in.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.